B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, fourth and final hour, reentry Monday. Felger, Big Jim Murray in for Maz, the Maz chair. And we got Marshall Hook in our update studio. Mason Souza and Matt McCarthy behind the glass. Breaking news at this hour, Chris Sale will not need Tommy John surgery. If you've been listening to me all day, I thought it was a fait accompli. I thought it was done. I thought he was going under the knife. The tone of Dombrowski, the tone of Cora to me felt ominous over the weekend. And just how Sale has pitched and how he's looked and going to see James Andrews, it all felt bad. But the news was good. So it's going to be rest and not surgery for Chris Sale. But there is this item about when did the injury occur? And I smelled a rat when Dave Dombrowski on Saturday did a press conference and was pretty close to the vest about a lot of the details. I can't reveal results of his MRI. It's against the law. You know, he didn't say HIPAA, but it's the HIPAA laws, sure, and you know those sort of things. And I can't reveal that. That's all I'm going to say about that. But then it got to whether this was a new injury or not. And he was very definitive. You know, in the same breath, he says, I can't say anything. I can't reveal anything about the MRI. I can't reveal anything about the injury. But it was new. That raised a red flag. Here's that sound.
Well, I can't really tell you what's in his MRIs. That's personal information. But this was not in his MRI. This is brand new. This happened Tuesday. There's no question. That's what causes the inflammation. When they read the MRI, they know that it happened on Tuesday.
Okay, so when the Red Sox are so definitive on something like that injury-wise, your antenna should go up, right? And not just them, teams. Teams lie about injuries. But in this case especially, because if there was any indication of fraying of the UCL or elbow inflammation or problem with the elbow last year, and they still gave him that contract.
Oh, they look like complete fools.
And Dombrowski, chief among them, right? So it's in his interest to say, nope, this is new. When we signed under that contract, there was nothing to see here.
Well, especially when he's going to be out on the street at the end of the year, it feels like, and he's going to probably want to get another new job. What team is going to look at him and say, like, wait a minute, why'd you sign him when you knew that there was an issue there?
Just the perception of the Red Sox and Dombrowski on the contract, it behooves them for it to be a new injury, because if it was pre-existing, boy, did they and he look bad. Jeff Passan, what was the second half of that Jeff Passan tweet, McCarthy?
All right, initial readings showed changes from the MRI Sale took in the spring, but weren't clear enough to definitively judge whether there was damage to his UCL.
So they're comparing it to an MRI they took in the spring.
Right, I'm assuming that MRI came when he signed the contract as part of the physical.
Or they just took an MRI in the spring because his elbow hurt. I don't know. I mean, am I a bad guy to read it like that?
No.
I mean,
no, I think it's also fair to question if
for them to go, oh, the elbow? Oh, it was totally fine. That just happened on Tuesday. I don't know. That just seems a little much for me to swallow.
They've lost three big-name pitchers, including Sale, Price, and Eovaldi being the other two, since the World Series. It's fair to question if they just misdiagnosed some of these guys.
So anyway, the news is good on him. If the doctor says he can pitch, I don't know why you wouldn't pitch him.
The doctor didn't say that.
Okay, I said if. Hook, did I not just say if? Yeah. Mason, did I say if? Was if in front of that?
Yes.
Sorry, I wasn't listening.
That's okay. Producers aren't listening. If the doctor says he's okay to pitch and they're in it, and if they're in it, they're not in it right now, I wouldn't pitch them. You know, they're 6.5 out. I wouldn't pitch them with 10 games left if they're 6.5 out. I'm not stupid. Yeah. But if they climb to like 3 games... and you've got 2-3 weeks left and you're in it, why would you not pitch it if the doctor says it's okay? Why would you not do that? Why are you just punting on the season? I don't get that.
Because you should punt on the season because they ain't going to win crap.
Because you have some sort of personal animosity towards this team. That's why. I don't get it. You're angry. When I asked in our email exchange, what does their 5-game winning streak mean? Just a simple question. It's just a question. What does it mean? Murray wrote back, I'm frankly offended you even asked this. It literally,
because my eyes work.
It literally gave me the sting, which again is some sort of newfangled kid. You kids say with your slang. I don't know what that means. It gave me the sting. Is that like some sort of drug reference?
No, it pissed me off. It's another way of saying it pissed me off.
It literally gave me the sting. It means nothing, Felger, he says. Absolutely nothing. The season is over. They're a garbage team that swept a bigger loser than them. Neat. So like this, any little Sox success actually kind of makes you angry, Murray.
Yes, because it's all fool's gold. It has been time and time and time again. And I get it. This is the gig. We got to talk about them. But like, if you've been paying attention, this season's mostly been garbage outside of Devers and Bogarts, and they are not going anywhere. And any kind of streak like this doesn't mean they've turned it around. And don't let them get hot. They're not making the postseason this year.
I think there's a lot of bad baseball teams out there. That's all.
Yeah, and your team is one of them.
I'm not
sure
of that.
Your Red Sox are one of them.
I'm not sure of that. Wayne in Yarmouth, go.
I hate to admit it, but Felger seems to be the only adult in the room there.
You're welcome.
It is the offense, no question about it. Look at what Devers is doing. Look what Bogarts is doing behind him. And now JD's awakened, and they are overcoming this incompetent starting pitching staff. And I'll tell you, out of the last games, some 36, 24 of them are with the dogs of both leagues.
Thank you.
So Felger mentioned that, and you guys don't even acknowledge that that could come through with 18, 20 of those 24 games.
They just ignore me, Wayne.
Yeah, that's not even true. From September 3rd to the 23rd, they play 16 of their 19 games against playoff contenders.
I just can't wait to sit here in late September when they're, in fact, deeper than 6.5 out and hear you apologize for doubting this.
He's
and
never going to apologize.
I'm not doubting you. All I'm saying is
who just called
I wouldn't
and
give up on
us
the
that
season.
We don't know what we're talking
I'm just
about.
Saying I wouldn't give up on the season. I don't know why you're shutting the door on the season.
I love the fact that you are buying into this the way that you derided Celtics fans for buying into their team.
What are you
because they're
about?
Exactly the same team. How many times did the Celtics go on like
why
a three or four?
On the Celtics
because
I said
having
they were,
exactly
I had
the
them
same
beat,
season.
I had them beating the Bucks in the second round. What are you talking
I'm
about?
I'm not talking about. I'm talking about the regular season. How many times during the Celtics regular season? Did
I never
the Celtics,
wrote them off. I never
did
wrote
the Celtics
off.
Go on a four or five game win streak, and people go up. Oh, they're finally gelling together. They're finally putting it together.
I usually
and
bought
you
in
would
on those.
Sit right here and crap on them and
you've
say
got the
this
wrong guy.
Team is nothing. This
no, I definitely crapped on them.
This team is going nowhere. This team is nothing. But when the Red Sox do it against really, really bad teams, at least in the NBA, they have to do a four-game win streaks at least three different teams, right? This one, they win three in a row against the dregs. The dregs.
Marshall.
And I'm supposed to believe that means anything?
You're projecting. You would think that I would be the guy to say, dump on the Celtics, they're not going to do anything. It's just if you dialed it back, anytime they had success and went on a run, I'd say I'd take this team seriously. They still have the talent. The Eastern Conference blows. You never heard me write off the Celtics. In terms of being a final, beating the Warriors, if Durant was healthy, no, I never said that. But I didn't say the things that you ascribed to me, Hook. So you're just profiling now, which we will not have on this program.
I see.
Back to your thoughts on this and the Patriots and Gordon and all of it right after these words.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Patriots 2 of 6 on third down. Empty backfield. Patterson and Myers left. Brossette is right. Throws towards the end zone up in the air, and it is caught for a touchdown. Damon Patterson with the reception from 23 yards. Didn't just threw it up where only he could catch it. Nicely done on the back shoulder throw down near the goal line. Patterson, it took time to see. The official took his time to make the official call, but he kept looks like he kept both feet in. It's tough, though. That left foot landed. May have been on the line. We'll see. But right now, it's ruled a touchdown for the Patriots.
Jared Stidham with game-winning touchdown pass. About 4 minutes left. Win that preseason game on Saturday. I like Jared Stidham. I thought that last drive was balls.
How can you not?
Against third stringers, but he's starting on his half-yard line. Second NFL game.
7 for 7 going 99 yards like that, even if it's against third or fourth stringers. I'm a Brady Hawk, and I don't want anyone to be a quarterback of this team, but the kid has flashed in these first two preseason games. He wasn't good early. He had a couple that could have went the other way for pick sixes, but on that particular drive, he looked good.
Terrific on that drive. Money on the table. 7 for 7, starting at his one-yard line. 10 minutes left, fourth quarter. That's pretty good. And so you put those two games together, I think they're onto something there. I have no idea what he's going to be, but I just, give him his due for those two games. And I think the lead story out of that Patriots game on Saturday is just, the way some of the young players are flashing. Winovich, you can't block him. I mean, the backups anyway. When he goes against backups, you can't block him. It's 7.5 hurries. 7.5 quarterback hurries. He had 3 sacks in the first preseason game. I mean, you add up his numbers between the two preseason games, they're off the charts. Jacoby Myers, you can't cover him with backups. Against backups, against second and third stringers, you can't block Winovich and you can't cover Myers. So at least those guys show that they're better than the backup level.
I mean, Myers has looked so good that I was pissed he was playing deep in the fourth quarter.
Crazy. It's excellent. Like, Wynn looked good. I loved the running back, again, because you draft him in the third round where you should be drafting running backs. So Harris there, Damian Harris, looked good. Juwan Williams?
Juwan Williams, to me, who didn't really look that great in that first preseason game against Detroit. This one, couple of pass breakups, good tight coverage, and it's just size. His size stands out.
I think he looked good. I think Isaiah Wynn looked like he belonged at left tackle, which is good. So I think it's really important for this team. They were one of the older teams in the league, maybe the oldest team in the league last year, I think, and one of the older teams to ever win a Super Bowl, something like that. And so they needed to get younger. And they needed some of these draft picks last couple of years to pan out and start panning out. And so I think they're on the way to that. We'll see how it all plays out.
Another one that flashed on one particular play was that Calvin Munson, the linebacker. And they're obviously very deep at that position. And maybe, you're getting really good play out of him right now because he's fighting for a roster spot. But he completely bowled over Roger Saffold, who was a starter on the Rams last year.
That wasn't Cowart?
That's who I thought. I'm sorry. Yeah, Cowart. I got confused.
Okay. So, he trucked that guy. It was on the first drive you're talking about,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So that to me is just hugely important. They got to start to – I'd like to see them start to develop something of a young core. I don't know if they have one right now. We came into the year saying, how many good young players do they have? And we said Sony Michel, and then after that, you didn't really know. But now, after two preseason games, I think you can say Sony Michel and looking like, hopefully, Winovich, Myers, Stidham, Harris, Wynn, Juwan Williams – I put the freaking punter on the list. That guy bombs the
Jake
ball.
Jake Bailey, yeah.
I am looking at their picks here just from this last draft. N'Keal Harry, Williams, Winovich, Harris are all, those are their top four picks. Then you have Bailey, you have Stidham, Froholt. These are all people who at some level have contributed. And that's a pretty impressive ratio for a draft.
So to me, that's the best news coming out of this. And we'll see how that all develops. So your thought on that and the Chris Sale thing. It's 617-779-0985. Christian in Winthrop on the Patriots. Hi, Christian.
Yeah, how's it going?
We're good. What do you got, Chris?
All right, so let me just tell you something. I've been listening to you guys for like 6 years now, and you guys have nothing positive to say ever. Like Murray, you're the worst. I swear to God.
Christian.
This
afternoon, I opened up and said that Chris Sale probably won't be going under the knife. I'm feeling optimistic about it because David Price didn't have to a couple of years ago. Yeah, and I was right. I was right.
You're also the one that said that the season is down the dumps.
Yeah, it is.
So,
it's over.
I don't want to hear this.
Okay.
So the bullpen in the last 21 and a third innings pitch has led up two earned runs, I believe. And nothing on that. Gostkowski has a career average 87.4% field goal. And only in 2017, he had a 92.5% field goal. Not even mentioning that. So what's going on with you guys?
Because I don't care about his regular season kicking percentage. I care about these single misses in every single final game they've played for like 6 years running.
I get confused of what he's actually missed,
right?
Whether it's extra points or field goals in Super Bowls, because it's one of each or both all of them.
It all blends together. There's either an extra point or field goal, makeable field goal missed in every single one of these big games. Because my tone is such, I understand why you could confuse it. I'm not telling you to fire the guy. I'm not telling you anything other than it's fascinating the way Bill handles him, which is completely hands-off.
Here's where I'm going to appreciate that fella, because he took something right out of your playbook. Did you notice what year he told you about Steven Guskowski's field goal percentage? 2017. He very specifically chose 2017 because 2016 was 84.4. 2018 was 84.4. The 2015 was worse, but 2017 was that 92.5. So
it's sort of like Tuukka Rask's, career numbers are good, but how do you play in Game 7 of that game? How do you, it's like
right.
The individual big game. It's so great when you compile it all, and then, you have that big stat, the overall average. It looks pretty good, and because it is pretty good, because Steven Gostkowski is pretty good. I never told you he sucks. It's just that every big game he seems to have a miss, and he makes as much money, if not more, than any other player at his position in the league, and he's 35. I just find it odd And fascinating that Bill doesn't decide to bring in competition for that player.
Mid-30s, tied for third highest paid kicker in the league. No competition whatsoever.
And he's not playing well.
Right.
And he's not, nothing. Zero. You don't hear anything about kickers being brought in. Tom and Quincy, what's your take on the Chris Sale situation?
Oh, God. You guys, it's wicked funny because, like, some of the stuff that you hear while you're waiting to get on, that kid had notes, but he had the wrong notes. You know what I mean? It's like, that's what I've realized. I've listened to you guys since you started. The guys with notes, very ill-prepared. But I was calling initially to say that if Sale was having Tommy John, what a total kick in the nuts that would be, right?
Yes.
And while I was calling in, the breaking news actually came on and Hook read that he doesn't need Tommy John right now. So the only thing is, it's coming from Andrews and not the Red Sox. Because every player that I can remember in the recent years that has had an issue, injury-wise, the Sox have blown it and the guys have had to go somewhere else to get the right opinion anyway. But if you're going to Andrews and he's saying, you know, I think that you know, he has kind of he's held to the highest regard amongst all those guys, the specialists and stuff. So I'm happy to see. But, I mean, my thing is, can he effing pitch? Period.
Well, this would be my point. Like, well, now you don't have injury to fall back on. He just sucks because he sucks.
Tom, thanks for the call. Like, that's now the worry. So he's not hurt. Oh, so he's just.
Oh, right.
There was a silver lining to the Tommy John thing. Yeah. I understand a lot of money, a guy, rehab, all that. But at least then maybe you'd have a reason why he's pitching so poorly. Now you're just back to, oh, okay, so he just sucks. And that's the guy we signed for 5 years.
I think that's a fair point. Still, if he's healthy enough to pitch and you're in it, you're hovering, I don't know why you wouldn't pitch him. I don't necessarily need to start him. Like, they've started this whole thing now where they're...
And they have openers. This is what Evaldi has been. This
openers, roving guys, they're pitching guys in relief. Like, it's all... They're throwing everything against the wall, and they should. They should. Don't give up on the season. Why would you give up on the season?
Because my eyes work, and I know that this is fool's gold because, ooh, they swept the Orioles, and they took the last two out of three against the Indians because the Indians had pretty much given up, and were looking ahead to the Yankees.
Okay, if you're just joining us, there has been breaking news on Chris Sale and his elbow and the Tommy John, the prospect of Tommy John and missing over a year. The very latest comes your way right now in the update with Marshall Hook.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Boston Red Sox ace Chris Sale apparently does not need Tommy John surgery. This, according to multiple sources now. A follow-up today with Dr. James Andrews confirmed the diagnosis of elbow inflammation. He is on the injured list. The return date for him is unclear. But again, as of this point, the determination by Dr. James Andrews is he does not need Tommy John surgery. The Sox are off tonight. They're going to open up a two-game set against the Phillies tomorrow. Rafael Devers named the American League Player of the Week today. Now, the Patriots out there on the practice field ahead of preseason game number 3. That'll be against the Panthers down in Foxborough on Thursday. Handful of wide receivers out there today. Julian Edelman in pads as he's working his way back from a thumb injury. Josh Gordon and Demaryius Thomas out there, but not in uniform. Dontrell Inman not out there as he asked for his release yesterday and was granted it. Antonio Brown, we'll just continue with the wide receivers. He was back in Raiders camp today. This after the GM of the Raiders spoke up saying he was growing tired of Antonio Brown's absence, so he has returned for now. And Howard University bringing back its golf teams for the first time in decades after Steph Curry says he will financially support both men and women's teams for the next 6 years. Howard hasn't had golf teams since sometime in the 70s. The update being brought to you by DN Van Lines, moving your home or business. Call Felger's Mover and the top choice of local pro athletes and celebrities online at dnvanlines.com. I'm Marshall Hook of Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in about 30 minutes.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports. Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Time winding down to the first quarter. First and 10 on the 21-yard line. Harris takes it. Right what side, 50. Cuts to the right, 10, 5, near the goal line. Did he get in? No. Down just short.
at the 1 yard line. But what a run, what a cut by the kid out of Alabama. And the Patriots will have first and goal as time winds down here in the first quarter after a big gain there for New England. In motion comes Kendricks, sets up right, pitch right to Harris, behind Johnson, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, inside the 10, down to the 5, spins, gets inside the 5. Nice run by Damian Harris. He's been doing it all night long. Finally pushed out of bounds by Darren Bates, but not before he got inside the 5 yard line where the Patriots will have a first and goal.
Damian Harris, rookie, third round pick. I already like him better than Sony Michel. Catches the ball. Done more in the passing game in one preseason game than Michelle's done in a year plus. And he's on the field. So more than I can say for Michelle. And again, not to bash Michelle. He's fine.
It just fits your agenda is all. You just didn't just like that he was taken first. And
I just think it's a waste to draft running backs in the first round when you can find just as good, if not better, talent in the third at that position more than any other. That is a fact. That has been statistically proven.
I want to see
you
these
sound like my uncle
about.
On Facebook. I've got the study to tell you.
I do.
This is all true.
If I were on social media, I'd send out the links. Look, the Ringer has written stories about it. 538 has written stories about it. They've done the studies. They've done the studies at that position as much as any other, more than any other. The talent does not need to come up high in the draft or does not need to be paid for because it's floating. Disposable razors, Hook. They're just floating out in the ether for you just to pluck another running back.
Harry's razors?
Use them, right? Yeah. Use them up and then let's get another one. And that's what running backs are. But anyway, Harris, I really liked him in the passing game and that one jump cut that he ran down to the 1 yard line. That was a nice little play.
It was, but I just don't know if they're going to end up, you know, beating that out of him because and Beatles talked about this. Chris Gaspers talked about this. We were discussing it in the post game on Saturday night. It just, from a philosophical standpoint, the Patriots don't like the cut. They don't. They want their running backs going forward. That's it. Do not risk losing yards by trying to get a cut and get some extra yards. It's what they ultimately did with Sony Michel. I mean, you look at any of his tape when he was at UGA, he was making those kind of moves that Harris did on Saturday night. So I don't know.
So they're going to tell him not to make that move the next time?
Those two, Beadle and Gasper, are convinced that Ivan Fears and the coaching philosophy with running backs is go forward, don't risk it going, you know, east to west at all.
So you know what? I don't even disagree with that philosophy. I mean, it was entertaining. It was a great run, but just take the yards that are there and hang on to the ball and keep your mouth shut. Like, honestly, that's what I want on my running back. I don't want to hear.
So you hated Barry Sanders then? Like, I mean, that.
If yeah, I didn't love Barry Sanders.
Oh, of course. Oh, Jesus.
How many playoff games did he win in his career? It's like something like 3.
I don't even know if it was that many, but.
Yeah, I mean, really, I don't think it was. I think he went to one NFC title game. And other than that.
Terrible quarterbacks like Scott Mitchell and exactly. Wayne Fonts, who was a boob.
Exactly my point, yes. When you have when your best player is your running back, you're hosed.
You need help.
That's exactly my point.
But he still dragged them to 9 wins and into the playoffs in like 98, ooh, 99.
Troy, you dragged them to 9 whole wins?
Yeah. Mm. You do need help. It's
9
not a
was
one
so, wait, so 9 wins?
Yeah, that matters.
That's what a great running back gets you? 9 wins? You know what a great quarterback gets you? A championship.
I never said the quarterbacks weren't more important, Mike.
Okay, so there you go. We agree.
I shame on me for even going down that road. You don't like Randy Moss, which is asinine. So
we'll have more on this. Adam Jones and myself will give you the Felger-Maz off-air show. That returns tonight, Facebook Live. Adam Jones will come on and swear like a drunken, dirty sailor passed out in the street. 6 p.m. sharp, Facebook Live, myself, Adam Jones, and also on Twitch. So that comes your way tonight in 39 minutes. We'll finish it up with your phone calls here. Why is Rob Gronkowski, Steven Gostkowski still here? Rob in New Hampshire has a theory. Go ahead, Rob.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I like to call it the Vinatieri effect. You know, we had the best clutch kicker of all time. You know, the unbelievable kicks in the snowballs, the 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And so Belichick decides not, you know, he gets franchised either once or twice and then just decides to leave, and Belichick doesn't make a counter offer, and Vinatieri is gone. So he replaces him with Gostkowski, who in the 2007 Super Bowl against the Giants, they don't dare let try to about a 40-yard kick.
So, Rob, I got all that. What's the conclusion? What's the bottom line?
My conclusion is that Vinatieri is the only guy that Belichick has ever let go that has continued at a high level,
okay.
And I think no matter how bad...
So I'm actually going to cut you off.
That's not true. Akeem Hicks is another one.
There's been several players who've done it. It's a misnomer to say no one's done anything who's left Belichick. Tlaib's been great. Ty Law was great. Ty Law was. He didn't have as long of a career, but he led the NFL in receptions the year he left you. No one mentions this. For the Jets. Made a Pro Bowl.
Welker was still productive.
Welker was productive.
Akeem Ayers.
Tlaib was productive. No, Akeem Hicks, this defensive lineman with the Bears, is nasty. It's excellent. So there's been a bunch of players who've gone on and done good things after they've left the Patriots. But Vinatieri is definitely one of them. So is Bill just sort of hanging on to the, I got rid of Vinatieri at the right guy, I picked the right guy to replace him, and I'm just, that's my guy? I mean, I do think it's a my guy thing. I don't know what the my guy comes from, whether it's the Vinatieri decision or something else, but there's no question that Steven Gostkowski is Belichick's guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's only drafted, I think, two kickers.
Him and Gould. I mean, I don't know if he drafted another one, but he drafted Robbie Gould.
Okay, yes.
Who's another excellent kicker who might be one of the best kickers in the game right now, which surprises me why Bill's afraid to go back into the draft and pick another guy.
So maybe he wants to try to get him another ring to say that he was the better kicker than Vinatieri?
I don't know. I can't tell you why, but there's no question Gostkowski's his guy. Doug in New Hampshire on the Red Sox, what are your thoughts?
Hey, Felger, I'm on your side as far as the Boston Red Sox.
Attaboy.
Those two seated to your left are Jackals.
Negative.
Their offense will carry them to the Boston Red Sox playoffs. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you, Doug.
Mike Felger has now become the beacon of hope for the 2019 Red Sox. I love it.
It's just so asinine. I'm not predicting playoffs. I'm saying, why would you give up on this season?
Because they stink. The pitching stinks. The offense is not going to be good enough to drag them into the playoffs. And you're still, there's too many other variables here. You need the Rays and the A's and even maybe the Indians to go sideways for the next 36 games for you to squeak in and second wild. It's not going to happen. They have easier schedules and they're better teams than you. They have better pitching. You're all playing the shell game right now with openers and who's going to start tonight. Who are your three starters right now? Rick Porcello, who blows, Eduardo Rodriguez, who is your de facto ace, and
Evaldi now?
Now, please.
He looked good yesterday.
Yeah.
I think the bigger point here, I'm going to try to approach this in a slightly less yelly sort of way. I mean, ultimately, you're still going to put your team out there, right? And you're still going to try to win theoretically in as much as they have at all at any point this year. I think the question that you're really talking about is Chris Sale. It's specific to Chris Sale. And what I'm saying is he hasn't pitched well this year. He has elbow inflammation. Clearly, it's not at the level that they think he needs Tommy John right now. Why is it not a better choice for a guy that you just signed to a 5-year deal to rest him for the rest of this year?
Because
and start
if the doctor says if the doctor says there's nothing to be harmed by him pitching, then why wouldn't
you
pitch him?
The doctor hasn't said that,
right? That's why. If again, are you missing the first part of every sentence?
Yeah, no, I hear your words.
If the doctor says it's okay.
I'm focusing more on the rest of them.
Okay.
Because you seem to have skipped over the
I'm not skipping
rest
over.
Of them.
So if he...
Is there elbow inflammation?
Yeah.
Would that not theoretically be better if you didn't pitch for the rest of the
season? I don't
know.
I'm not a doctor. Let's see what the doctors say.
Okay.
If the doctors say it's okay and you're in it, I don't know why you wouldn't still see what you can do this year. Okay. I just don't know. Again, this isn't the NBA where you need ping pong balls for a lottery pick or something like that. There's nothing to do with that.
Hook, may I yell at Felger for a moment?
Oh, please do.
Simple math. 6.5 games, 35 to play. That's all you need to know.
Two games and
has that
two
never
teams
been done?
In front of you.
Has that never been done? Is that insurmountable?
Well, as I said earlier, so using that benchmark, if you most wild card contenders need 92 wins to get to the wild card, right? Mm. So the Red Sox would need to go 25-11 to reach 92. Do you think that's going to happen?
I don't, but I wouldn't shut the door. I wouldn't say like, no, I'm not going to pitch anybody because that's not going to happen. I just wait to see what happens. So if I were predicting it, no. But does that mean that you shut everybody down just because you don't think it's going to happen? That's silly.
No, you shut a guy down that has a major injury risk and you need him going forward to be the ace of your pitching staff.
I wait to see what the medical professionals say. Meanwhile, Bill Belichick was shooting snot rockets again at the media today and poor Steve Burton last night at halftime. He did it with a smile on his face. Brody in Portland has a thought on that. Go ahead, Brody.
Yeah, I got a couple items. I'll try to make them real quick. One for you, Felger, one for Hook. So, you know, I guess maybe if you don't throw the flag, you know, challenge flag to the PI, but you sort of track when you would have thrown it internally, you know, maybe you get some sort of information edge to plug into your artificial intelligence machine and whatever model you're coming up with to sort of predict when, you know, when the refs might overturn that. So maybe
So hold on, buddy. So in case you missed this, folks, I'm curious why Bill hasn't thrown any flags on pass interference yet.
He had a couple of opportunities against Detroit, and there was one early on what was ultimately the first scoring drive by Tennessee. There was a defensive pass interference. The ball didn't even come close.
On J.C. Jackson.
Yeah, to reaching the Tennessee wide receiver, and Zoe was clamoring for it. I, too, was like, throw it, challenge it, and he didn't.
So, like, what's – because I feel there's no advantage – if he's, you know, he's going to wait to see how it's called, and then he's going to do it in the regular season when he knows what they're calling and when they're not, which is fine. I just don't know why he wouldn't throw the flag two to give him yet another play to look at to see what the threshold is. The more plays, the more examples you have out there in the preseason, the more clearly you can determine what the threshold is. So why wouldn't he contribute to the data pool, if you will? It makes no sense. I don't see any advantage to him not throwing that flag. But you said what, Brody? Say that again?
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, if they're going to track internally when they would have thrown it, they're not giving up an information advantage, I guess. Maybe however slight it might be to the rest of the league in terms of, like, when they would have thrown a PI and what the refs might give them. So maybe that is the reason why. I don't know. They got Ernie Adams doing all this crazy stuff, so maybe that's the reason why. And then I guess my second point is, you know, Hook, I agree with you that, you know, you got to bring in some competition for Steven Gostkowski. I just, his last three seasons, the field goal percentage is relatively in line with the career average, and I guess he was tied for first in terms of total points last season. So
hey, Brody, let me ask you something. Honestly, how do you feel about Steven Gostkowski lining up over a kick in the Super Bowl or an AFC title game?
Agree. I'm just questioning Hook because he's missed the no-clutch gene, but he seems to be getting up on his soapbox because Gostkowski's missing these kicks in the big game, and he doesn't necessarily believe in the clutch gene, so I just want to know why he has
played. I see. No, good. Thank you, Brody. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to yell at you. Now I know what you're doing. This is an old argument. Hook is one of these nerds that doesn't believe in clutch and late. So do you believe that Steven Gostkowski lacks some sort of clutch and late gene, or is it just sort of a random happenstance coincidence that he misses a big kick in every single Super Bowl in AFC title game?
It's too late in the day.
Got it. Good answer. Good answer, Hook. Good answer. He's a little shaky in those final games of the year. Little shaky.
I think he's a little shaky. I mean, the other day was a preseason game, and he was shaky in that one.
He's not hitting the ball well.
Was that a clutch moment? Was that a really big moment for him, that preseason game, in a game that literally does not matter in any way, shape, or form, and he shanked that one?
So, I think he's shaky in those big games. I do believe in clutch and late. I think he's just having a bad camp, which, again, what player gets to be 35, make the third highest salary in the league at his position, and have a bad camp, and not have Bill bring someone in to just compete with them?
I mean, I can't remember any situation like this in the last 20 years.
Or get his attention, or whatever. It's just totally different than Bill handles any other position. And I'm sure it's warranted. It's just notable every time that I see it. The final word comes your way right after this.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Final word being brought to you by Town Fair Tire. For the guaranteed lowest price on tires, go to Town Fair Tire because nobody beats Town Fair
Nobody
Tire.
Hook.
Nobody.
Nobody. Quick reminder, Felger Maz off-air show, myself and Jones, Facebook Live, coming up in 4 minutes. Top of the hour, presented by Ace Ticket. So we'll talk to you then. Go ahead, Hook.
Two items today. The first one kind of close to my heart. I wasn't here for it, but as a weekender, we often stand accused of being the ones that trash the studio. This is 100% without merit, as proved by the start of the program today.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into Felger and Maz. What do you got going on over there, Murray?
You know, I get that Joe's a slob. I've learned to accept that after all these years. But I do skeeve when it comes to certain things. And as I'm trying to log into the workstation here, what do I find? I'll tweet a photo of it in case people don't believe me, because you probably wouldn't believe something so disgusting. There is an old piece of gum, a chewed piece of gum, literally stuck to the monitor. So I'll assume Zoe chewing. Yeah, there it is. So Zoe chewing gum. Obviously, you shouldn't have gum in your mouth when you're trying to spit out a take or comment or whatever it happens to be during Zolak and Bertrand. So you have to take the gum out. Instead of putting it in a trash barrel or any kind of receptacle, you stick it to the side of the monitor. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And normally, like, I'm not the finger wagging Nana when it comes to things like this. Like, fine, again, I've accepted that he's like ogre. He's like our fun frat guy. But this is just gross. Like, stuff with food, gum, toenails, I skeeve. Like, it's gross. It's disgusting.
So we need a cleanup crew here in our Town Fair Tire studios.
And you wonder why.
So those, why do you guys always wipe down with the Lysol wipes? What's wrong with you?
This is why. This is why. It's repulsive. is in his mouth and he sticks it to the computer.
And what did Zoe tweet back at you?
The tweet, he texted me, 2.03 p.m., save my gum for tomorrow. Hey, really, if we had bigger lockers here, he would
freaking
try to stuff
animal.
Me and everyone else inside of them.
Of course he would.
If we carried books, he'd try to slap them out of our hands.
Meathead.
Yeah, he is.
Freaking
love him, but
meathead.
Come on, man, with the food and the gum and stuff, please.
If only the Weekenders could take better care of this studio, I tell you. So I joined this program halfway through today. It was a bit of an interesting schedule, and I have found that only doing half the program gives me a whole new level of energy in my ability to, I'll say, discuss things with Mike Felger, as you can hear in this clip right here.
I just don't know why we're not playing out the season. Like, I don't get that. Like, that makes no sense to me. There's nothing to gain from. This isn't a lottery.
Wait, I'm sorry. You
You're not trying
away,
to get more ping pong balls.
You threw
like,
away the
it.
Entirety of a Celtics season before it began because you decided one of the best players wasn't going to come back. You have no problem
What are you talking about?
Guys sat right here and told me I would be stupid to even care about the Celtics season because Kyrie Irving was leaving at the end of it, which, by the way, is true.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean, what am I talking about?
I have
about?
No idea what you're talking
you
about.
And this guy... and not the short fella who's in the middle, and your producer all said, don't bother investing in the Celtics this year because Kyrie Irving's leaving at the end of it, so you're wasting your time.
I didn't say that.
You did. You did.
I did not.
I came in here and had a 12-minute speech about it. I remember it
happened. So you just remember you talking, not listening. I like the Celtics over the Bucks in the second round. You got the wrong guy. I never said they were going to – I didn't know how it was going to end for the Celtics. I'm not good at predicting the future. All I am is telling you what is – and the league
you're
sucks.
Not good at telling us what is because you're not looking at what the Red Sox are.
What was the rest of that tweet? Real quick, McTakey. What did Passan say?
Hold on one second.
Yeah, so you X out of it again. Everyone X is out of the good stuff. As soon as you get something good, just X right out of it so it's not there for when we need it. Anyway, baseball reporters coming up with Murray and Hook. What do you guys got?
And we got McCarthy behind the glass, too.
Oh, loaded with baseball talent.
Yes. So, obviously, Red Sox and Chris Sale dodge a major bullet when it comes to the injury that shut him down over the weekend. So, we'll give you the latest on that and discuss how the team should handle Chris Sale going forward for the remainder of the season.
That's it. Okay. Big Chris Sale news. And it's good. It's good news. And the thoughts on the Red Sox coming off their 5-game winning streak. Hook and Murray. No commercials, just an update. Off-air show on Facebook Live now, presented by Ace Ticket with me and Jones. We'll talk to everyone tomorrow at 2 for a fully loaded Felger and Maserati program. Bye-bye.
Bye.